Every morning, Terry and Armstrong talk Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for April 5th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is John. How you doing, John?
Taryn, you called me twice in 1 week. That must mean that this is the best week in the BB Can House. There's a direct correlation, I believe, between how often you ask me to help you out and how interesting the feeds are.
It's very true. It's every time John touches an update, the feeds just exponentially get better and better.
They turn to gold.
Yeah. We are here today to update you on everything that's been happening on the Big Brother Canada 6 feeds yesterday. But we are also here to recap yesterday's episode. Talk about what happened in the episode. We give you all the information we need. We will not get into spoilers immediately, but we will let you know when we do. It's fine. The episodes, the eviction is tonight. You don't need to avoid spoilers.
You're really cutting it down to the wire if you think you're gonna like catch up. You know, at this point, don't even bother. Someone's going home tonight.
It's true. And we're going to get a new HOH and it's going to be very exciting. So, last night we had an episode and,
certainly did.
We did. Ryan and Maren had just been nominated. And this episode to me was just like, how bad can I feel for Maren? Just like, how can you just keep piling it on that? I hate what is happening to Maren. I was tweeting it out. Just like, send him home already. I'm so tired of feeling awful for him. He's such a nice person and he's just so bad at this game.
I feel like you and Maren should become like BFFs and maybe do like a road trip across Canada or something, because your sort of digital relationship with him is adorable. And I'm sorry that you're seeing your buddy suffer.
It's sad. It's a sad thing. It's because not only is he very nice, but he's like, he genuinely wants to be there and he wants to do well and he doesn't want to disappoint people. Oh.
Big Brother is a bad thing that happens to good people sometimes.
Yes. We had to watch Maren. He was trying so hard in the veto competition. He was trying so hard to campaign. He was trying so hard to entertain us by himself when he talks.
The thing
to
about
us.
Maren is just that he's so earnest all the time. And that's, mm-hmm. I think that's what you like about him. I think that's what everyone likes about him, except for maybe the most cynical of the BB watchers. Like, you know, he's not the best at anything. He's not a very good player at all, but it's just with the earnestness that he attempts to do it that I think that we find so endearing. You know, maybe there's a different game show out there that's more his speed.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll find it someday. So we saw Maren and Ryan on the block. It really felt like Maren's episode. We very quickly head to the veto competition, which was a skip the dishes competition where they had to deliver bags of food. Although I doubt there was real food in there. That would be an interesting question to ask. Was there real food in the skip the dishes bags?
Well, you can ask Maren in a few days. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit sassy today. I just feel like rubbing it in.
Yes,
you want to destroy something.
So they get clues, they get the bags, they have to run them to the doors, and I tweeted this out too, but like this is what I want to see in sponsored content. It's a competition, it's a good competition, and it's all about skip the dishes. That's great. I love that. It's not a commercial break in the middle of an episode during the episode. It's ingrained, integrated into the show. That's what I want to see.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, Big Brother Canada loves its commercials, don't they? I mean, really, it's like getting to the point now where it feels like there's very little in between the commercials. But if you think about the fact that the show has to exist on, you know, sponsorship, like they got to get money somehow. I think that the best way to sort of make middle ground is to have really, really good competitions that then, you know, integrate, like you said, really well. I remember there was like that Oreo competition in Big Brother Canada, I think 5 or 4. That was really fun. They had to like soak up a bunch of Oreos or whatever. Like that's, you know, that's fun. I think if you have to have the sponsored content in there, that you may as well make it feel like it connects more directly.
Yes, yes, for sure. So they have this competition. Ryan is trying really hard. He's saying that he's lost like 20 something pounds, and he's more fit than he ever has been. He's running. He's really proud of himself, and he doesn't get last.
Yeah, Ryan is no slouch. We said this last week too. Like he's someone that, you know, if he makes it through this week, let's say that. And then if he could win a few competitions farther down the line. Like he's not the best in the house. He's not the most athletic or whatever, but he is certainly no slouch when it comes to the physical. Let's not forget, he is the most knowledgeable Big Brother contestant of all time.
He very much is.
And I know that because he's told me so many times, I can't forget it even when I want to.
800 hours of experience doesn't just limit you to knowledge. It also helps you train physically.
I think if you watch enough Big Brother live feeds, you start to, your body starts to become a shape that would be good at Big Brother. I think there's some Lamarckian science involved in there.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. Yeah. I don't think I need any science either. It just sounds right. But unfortunately, neither of the nominees here are going to win the veto. No. Johnny wins the veto. He wants that $5,000 of Skip the Dishes money.
Well, I believe that Johnny's a house husband, which means that if I'm going to go by more traditional definitions of what the house spouse does, he's probably the one who does more cooking. Maybe he doesn't like cooking. So, you know, that's a good prize to win, I suppose. I don't participate in food delivery services. I don't know what $5,000 gets you. I also am not Canadian, so I don't know what the transfer rate there is between Canadian dollars and real dollars. But that's probably several dinners.
Yeah, several is probably the right word. And look, he can just order Skip the Dishes and then throw away all the packaging and then just be like, oh, hello, husband, I made you dinner for when you got home. And
right, steamed hams.
Yeah, that sounds like something our evil Johnny would do, right?
And you know what? He can probably do a pretty convincing fake dinner. I think Johnny's, you know, he's definitely one of the top, if not the top players this season. I believe it. He could lie and convince me he cooked a meal and I'd be like, you know what? You probably did, Johnny. Probably did.
Yeah. So Johnny has won this veto, and then we're basically going to spend most of the episode focusing on, is Johnny going to use the veto and try to take a big shot at Derek or Kayla, which I felt like, do we have to stick to the, like, you know, I know that there's a basic formula for Big Brother, like who's going to win HOH? Who are they going to nominate? Who wins the veto? Are they going to use it? Who's going home? But I feel like sometimes those questions aren't interesting. And sometimes there's a lot of other interesting stuff that's happening. And I wish they didn't feel like they had to follow those questions strictly, like, oh, well, this episode is only interesting if we make it look like Johnny might use this veto. There's a lot of other stuff that you could be doing. And then just like, when Johnny doesn't use the veto, which like we knew he wasn't going to, or at least like, I mean, come on, you can build up this big story of, you know, Dayla versus Johnny versus whoever, and this like proxy fight between everyone in the house, between trying to evict Ryan or trying to evict Marin, and then have the veto ceremony go, and then like yeah, I don't know. There's a story moment there where it's like, this is the setting off point. Now the big war is about to come between, the Ryan people and the Marin people. And that's exciting. But like building up, like, will he use it? No, he won't. That's not nearly as exciting as an end of an episode to me.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything that you just said, but if you want to like unpack that a little bit, I think that there's an interesting discussion to be had about the fact that like Big Brother is this weird thing where there is a game show that happens in real time in real life that we get to watch a little bit of on the live feeds. And that's something that, you know, we comment on when we do these these daily live feed updates. And then there's this separate entity, which is, you know, the TV show, which gets edited down into these three separate chunks. And we often on the podcast malign the fact that like the narrative of the TV show doesn't necessarily line up with reality. And I think you could say like, yes, well, you have three episodes per week and there's this predetermined format, you know, the Monday episode, that's the HOH, that's the eviction fallout, the HOH win, the nominations, the Wednesday episode, that's the nomination fallout, the veto comp, the veto, you know, do they use it or not? And like, I get that. And that formula works. It's worked for 20 years now in multiple different, you know, North American formats. It's also, I would argue, you know, everyone who becomes a fan of the show, no one starts as a feed watcher. You typically discover the show at some point and you like it enough that you fall into the feed. So like that formula works. But I agree that it's after 20 years now, it's like, I think that you can play with it a little bit. And we've seen, especially with Big Brother Canada, that there is a little willingness to play with that format where it's like, you know, this season we haven't really seen any intros. Like they've kind of gotten rid of the intro to have more content, you know, in the show. Or, you know, we've seen just over the last 20 years, like the food competitions have more or less gone away, you know, that haves and have nots are decided in a different way. So like we can see that there's a willingness to play with the format. And it's like, I think that it would really breathe a lot of life into the show. I'm not even talking about just making it more accurate to what happens on the feeds, but just to like screw with that format a little bit. Like you can actually get into a lot more complicated narratives, like you're saying, you know. And if you go outside of Big Brother, even outside of reality TV, I think that television as a medium has gotten more comfortable with complicated narratives. You know, just look at any scripted TV show. And so I think that like, I think Big Brother could handle it. And I think that the audience could handle it, to actually show more relevant stuff. Because basically what you get when you have the Wednesday episode and they're like this and they're right next to you, they're searching for content. My rant was too long. The internet shut me off.
Yes. I agree. And I think that, like think about how much the feed people, like, we're not into spoilers yet, but if you're only here for the recap, everyone who's watching the feeds, they're very pumped about this HOH, this upcoming HOH. This is a crazy HOH coming up, very important HOH. Arissa has tweeted that it's going to be an exciting one.
Right, the competition itself.
Yes, exactly. And like, I don't think there's really anyone in this house that's going to be throwing it. Very important and crazy and interesting HOH, but I don't think that the show watchers are going to really get that feeling. Like for the show watchers, it's like, oh yeah, and there's an HOH too, because there hasn't been much buildup, and maybe they'll try to include that in the Thursday episode. But at the very best case scenario, it'll be like, oh well, I need to win because I know this person is coming after me, and it'll be like an immediately built up thing. Whereas they could have been building this war that's coming slowly throughout the week with these episodes, and I think that would be a lot more fun. I think the editing is still improved slightly from where we started. I'm not going to complain too much. I think that they are at least putting together a coherent narrative, and the will Johnny or won't Johnny use the veto, even though I don't like the basic premise of it, it does do a double purpose where, yes, it fakes us out for the veto, but it also lets us know that Johnny wants to target Kayla and Derek, and that is some buildup. Yeah.
Well, I do think, too, I mean, Johnny is one of these, I mean, we have a lot of players in the house, obviously, but Johnny is sort of the one that, you know, you especially have said throughout this season has been pulling a lot of the strings. Narratively, it does make sense for the show to put it. I mean, not only did he actually win the veto and he actually get the choice, but also, like, you know, it's kind of his decision, really, you know, who goes home. Like, he's the one pulling a lot of those strings either way. So I think that having the episode framed around this, like, will Johnny, won't Johnny make the decision? It does make sense a little bit, but it does dilute a lot of the actual interesting content, like specifically that we talked about last time I was on here on Sunday, about sort of the different power structures backing, you know, the two sort of lame horses in Marin and Ryan.
Yes, yes, exactly. So that's where we sort of leave off with the episode. We also got some scenes, you know, Will talking about his child. We got what was the game called? The where they put it wasn't catchphrase.
Yeah, I don't remember it. The whole games thing. I'm over it.
I did enjoy Kayla's face when she was trying to speak with the thing. She looked like a legitimate psycho serial killer. Silence of the Lamb style, but
Hasbro's getting enough advertising on the proper show. I feel like I'm over giving them more advertising on the reality covers that we do.
Yes, well, it's again like integrate it into the show more. Give us make it seem like it's not just like a commercial. In like this could have been a commercial spot during the show, not something that is actually on the show.
So I have a pitch for you, and I know you secretly run Big Brother Canada, so that's why I'm going to pitch it to you. But what if we took these like Hasbro board game sequences and actually made them? I have two sort of little ideas here. Number one, you remember like they used to on Big Brother Canada do these fun little mini challenges where they would pull someone into the HOH room and be like, convince everyone that you are something like that. And then if you can do it, then the whole house gets a pizza party, you know, or something like that. Like, instead of you don't have to make it into a veto or a food competition, but have them play the stupid, like, put the thing in your mouth game. And it's like, whatever team wins, you know, maybe they get a prize that is for the whole house or for half of the house, or maybe there's a punishment for the team that loses or something, like they have to wear a costume. Or another idea is like you could take these little games and it's like in the box, like in the game box, like they open the game box and in the rules where it's telling you how to play the mouth game, there's like a little secret piece of text that says like there's a secret power behind the wall in the white room.
We don't need to add secret powers. We don't need to.
No. Okay. I know you're anti-twist, I guess. And I am too for the most part, but it's like you could, there's a way you could integrate these Hasbro advertising games into the game of Big Brother, you know, proper, where it actually matters or it's actually interesting, as opposed to just like filler content where it's just like, oh, look, they're making funny faces.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my point.
I agree with that. And, you know, we've talked about like, you know, they could make them into competitions. They could make them into challenges. Like, you know, at the very least, just like, how are you choosing have nots? It's basically like people are choosing, or it's who the first people off a competition. It's completely uninteresting to the TV watchers. Make it so that, you know, the winners or the losers of the Hasbro game become have nots or something like that. At least it's then like a little bit incorporated into the show. And it's not just like totally useless.
Is they should throw like Monopoly in there, because that game starts wars. If you want to see an alliance crumble like that, you know, like throw Monopoly in there.
Yeah, or Risk.
Will's got Park Place and it's just like the whole house is melting down.
Well, they have been playing Mafia, so you know.
Right, which is I tweeted about this, but like I would stay so far away from that. I don't want anyone to know what my tells are. The one time that you tried to get me to play Secret Hitler, I was like, I didn't want to play because I didn't want anyone to know how I play games. You never know when that's going to come back to bite you.
When you get on Big Brother, people are going to be like, I saw when he played Secret Hitler on Terrence.
You never know. You never know. I want to be an enigma. I don't want anyone to know how I play games.
All right. Well, that concluded our episode. Johnny does not use the veto. And Marin and Ryan will be facing eviction tonight on our live, well, in quotes, live eviction episode.
Right. In like, I think in an hour or two, probably we'll know who.
Yeah, closer to 5 hours, I think. But yes, make sure, again, make sure you stay off Twitter if you don't want spoilers. But man, I'm willing to guess that if this is an endurance competition for the HOH, that there probably won't even be spoilers for the HOH. So it'll just be who goes home, and you'll probably have a good idea about that anyway, if you are a feed watcher. So probably not that much to avoid. And they never show the HOH competition on the show anyway.
I've heard speculation that the HOH comp is going to be like the 5 minutes in hell or 5 minutes in heaven thing, because of the tweet that Arisa made about it being like a good one and one that no one's going to throw or be able to throw or something like that. Because that one's really based on sort of like your internal clock, so as it can be to win it. I'm just passing on that speculation. I like that competition.
The one where they try to guess like when an hour has gone by?
Yeah, like they lay in the box and then like someone throws a bunny on Ika and that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm remembering that now. Yeah, I had a different idea of what 5 minutes in heaven was.
Marin is going to be out of the house soon, and tell him what your ideas about 5 minutes in heaven are, all you want.
All right, well, that's it for the episode recap. We are going to get into the live feed update now. So if you don't want live feed spoilers, now is your chance to leave, to get out, to run away, to hide under a rock, to cover your face.
Four, three, it's coming. One.
All right. All right. So yesterday we had a lot more campaigning, a lot more back and forth, John.
I used to wish that Rob would give you access to the soundboard so that you could use the sound effect of the spoiler alert. But it's much better when you just do it yourself.
I mean, at this point, like,
Rob
would definitely send it to me, and I have figured out how to use it. It's just a matter of, like, I do these every day, so it's like, whenever I want to implement a change, it's just, oh crap, I didn't do that yesterday. Let me think about it today. But then I get into my day. Because it's like, if it's once a week, then I have like the whole week to prepare and come up with changes. But when it's every day, you just get into rhythms, you know? But maybe someday soon.
You should write a little spoiler rap that you can perform live.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I always forget that we do the episode. I usually don't need a spoiler song because usually it's all spoilers.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anyway, yeah, there was more campaigning. Really, like, if you have been paying attention to the daily live feed updates, if you watched the, or if you listened to the excellent live feed roundtable on Tuesday, it's a lot of the same. I mean, we finally, I think, have a conclusion that we can talk about, but it's just been a lot more campaigning, a lot of back and forth this week.
Yeah. I mean, basically, there is a lot of Marin talking to people, Ryan talking to people, Ali and Kayla talking to people, Will and Johnny talking to people, all stuff that you, again, if you've been listening, you know everything that they're saying at this point, because they're all just repeating things. So I've left a lot of that out. But the new stuff I have left in, because there is some new stuff. There, some people have gotten a little bit more aggressive in the last day.
This actually really affects next week more so than this week.
Yes.
I think that our discussion here on out, really, in terms of spoilers, is about speculation, sort of like educated speculation on what we think will happen next week. Because I, from my sort of interpretation of the feeds, like it's pretty much a foregone conclusion that that Marin's going now.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's my read on it. I mean, who knows? Something crazy could happen, but I think that's a pretty shut case now.
Yes, it's or at least some talk about who might be targeted next week. But we start the day with Johnny and Marin. Johnny is letting Marin know that he will, in fact, be voting him out this week, and he's sorry. It's just because Ryan is a bigger threat. It makes more sense for his game. He wishes that he could explain more, but he can't, and he hopes that Marin understands. He thinks the world of him. It's nothing personal. Marin takes this very well. He's like, I get it. You know, I can separate personal from game. We're all good. This is basically, you know, Johnny working some jury management magic here.
Right, and that's something that's interesting. interesting. Like, we as viewers don't know whether the jury is starting or not, but also the people in the house don't know. And so, yeah, something that's kind of interesting too is now that it's kind of like a foregone conclusion that that Marin's going to go, it's like we can see sort of the beginnings of jury management, because a lot of the house guests are like, I think jury might be starting, and even if it's not, like, it's good for our bets. Because, you know, we have a couple of the girls who are going to be voting to keep Marin, even though they know he's going to go, you know, and they were talking yesterday about how that'll look good because Marin will be on the jury and he'll appreciate them, you know, voting, like sending him a sympathy vote. So we're starting to see a little bit of sort of the jury management phase kick in, even though jury may not have kicked in yet.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll say again, I'd be totally fine with a 7-person jury. I'd be happy. I prefer a 7-person jury, but I think there's a jury. Oh, you know, there's also talk about a twist going on that may also be the reason why that they haven't said jury yet. There may be some sort of, a buyback kind of thing. Yes. Hamza and Jesse have been tweeting. There's no way they're coming back,
right.
but there may be a twist where somebody comes back in the coffin, the big tomb.
Right.
And that may be like, maybe jury hasn't started because the next two people evicted are going to come back in a tomb. Who knows?
That tomb is like a big Chekhov's gun. I mean, like, from the very, very first preview of the season when Arissa was like, look at the house, isn't it great? You know, like, there was lots of focusing on that tomb in that room, and like everyone, like, something's going to happen with that tomb at some point. I'm confident. Well, I don't know whether it's a buyback. I don't know what's going to happen soon, but that they keep focusing on that tomb.
It's something could happen there. So Johnny lets Marin know that he will be voting him out. It all goes well. Then we have Kayla, Derek, and Erica. Erica is basically explaining to them why she wants to get rid of Marin and why she wants it to happen. Kayla and Derek are trying to push back, trying to say we should get rid of Ryan, but it's not really working for Erica. This is where Kayla is starting to get frustrated now that she can't get Ryan out, and she's thinking about, like, all right, well, this, like, who else can I target here? She starts to bring up Johnny's name as, like, you know, Johnny's good with everyone, and he can win in the end. Maybe we should be looking at Johnny. And I mean, she brings up many people's names, but it's notable when she brings up Johnny's name because she's really the only person doing it at the moment. Johnny, he's been targeting Kayla for a while, but it's really starting to look like if it's got to happen now or never.
I definitely sort of, and looking forward into the next weeks, it's really going to be sort of like Kayla is starting to draw these lines. Like, Johnny's been thinking ahead of time about these lines being drawn, but like, it's sort of out in the open because Kayla is actually using Johnny's name and saying it in that way. And yeah, like the whole Derek Kayla contingent, like this whole conversation, you know, this is like the moment that they start getting a little bit, more aggressive. There's been this narrative for the last several weeks about, like, someone's got to target the showmans. It'll happen at some point. There's the showmans in the house. But then in reality, every time that someone has won the HOH, which is usually Erica, they haven't targeted the showmans. But now it's like it's starting to become a thing. Obviously, Johnny's been doing some maneuverings in the background because he, you know, has been wanting to shift this HOH because he knows that that Ryan, he wants to keep Ryan because Ryan's going to, you know, target them or whatever. And so, yeah, these battle lines are being drawn is my point.
Yes. So Johnny has a conversation with Maddie where they both agree they want to be going after the show. Romance, but they need to keep it on the down low. And they also are both like, yes, we want Ryan in this house. Ryan is important to our games. Johnny just continues to bond with Maddie and get her on board with his plans. She has proven to be valuable. She seems to be willing to take the shot if she wins HOH. So that's good for Johnny.
I mean, the weird thing is that I think that a lot of players would be willing to take the shot. This is one of those really interesting examples of the idea of sort of like reality versus the reality of the Big Brother house, because I really think that a lot of players would be willing to nominate or vote out the showmans. There's all these conversations about like someone has to target the showmans, but it's like you have to bring that idea from the background into the foreground. You have to get people willing to say it before someone's actually willing to do it.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, that's it's like if they had had the conversations they had this week about Allie last week, then Allie could have seen the block this week. It's yeah, generally I mean, how it goes.
Allie's been kind of sleepy the last few days. You guys covered this really well with the live feed roundtable and stuff, but Allie's been playing kind of poorly.
Yeah. So we also have Marin basically doing a final plea to Erica. It lasts a while. He's just pitching, I'm not coming after you. I could go after Daleth. That's what the house wants me to do. Whatever you guys need. And again, like Erica takes it well in the moment, but after Marin leaves, it's like, it's just not enough. It's just not enough.
Is a failing common with Big Brother house guests, which is that sort of failing to read the room, right? The reason that Marin is being targeted and ultimately the reason he's going home is this conception that he is not a threat to anybody. It's this idea that Marin is such a non-threat that no one wants him in the house because everyone thinks if I'm sitting next to Marin, I'm going to go home. And so that's why he's being targeted. And so what Marin's argument to Erica essentially was like, Erica, don't worry, I'm not a threat. And it's like, yeah, exactly. That's why we want to get rid of you, because you're such a non-threat. Like, especially in this sort of like 11th hour, you know, it's officially eviction day sort of thing. Like if Marion is going to make a last ditch plea, what he really needs to do is like throw his coat into the other end of the ring and be like, screw it. I'm going to vote Paris. And just like. Perception. Right now, his perception is non-threatening. You know, a goat material, and that's kind of what he's giving Erica. So yeah, like she's not going to absorb that and change her mind.
Yeah, Marin is doing a lot of like, oh, don't worry, I have a target. It's not you, but I'm not really willing to say who it is. And like, oh, you know, I love Derek and Kayla as people. They're great, but I'd totally be willing to target them if that's what you want me to do. It's like, it's not very convincing when you're saying I love them as people, but I'm willing to do what you want me to do. I mentioned this on a previous update, but like he needs to be like, screw those guys. They yeah. think they can reel me in like I'm a fish. Like I have no agency in this game. They think they can control me. That's not true. I'm going to take a shot at them the first chance I get. People don't want you to be aware that they're controlling you or that you're doing what they want you to do. People want to think that you are doing what you want to do, which happens to coincide with what they want to do. And they think that they're having an influence over that. So like if Erica was like, you know, I think that Derek or Kayla might nominate you next week. And because it's basically she was like, if you stayed, I think you'd be a pawn all the time. I think Derek and Kayla would use you as a pawn. And Marin is like, nah, they wouldn't do that. I don't think they'd do that. They've told me that they're not putting me up. It's like, no, that's not what she wants to hear. She wants to hear you say, of course. Yeah. Cause they're the worst. I hate them. I can't believe they would use me as a pawn. And then like go off about them and how awful they are and make it seem like you as an autonomous being with no babysitting from anyone are just always going to be pointing at the person that they want to target. That's what Godfrey did with Zach. It's you know, it's a good strategy to use if you are in the position that he is in. It's where Ryan sits. Ryan, what people feel like Ryan is going after Allie, Kayla, Derek, and nobody else. And he will just always be after those three until they're out. And that's why they want him in the game. That's why they feel comfortable keeping him. It's, you know, Marin just, he doesn't have that gear in him to just be like all out aggressive force against somebody.
You know, I'm not much, but I do understand the concept that like, you know, you have like, there's a little bit of chance in poker and then there's a little bit of skill and you have to use your skills and, you know, literally play the hand you're dealt. And like, I can relate to Marin. I think that if I were to play in one of these situations, if I were ever on a show like this, like my strategy would be to be, you know, like we always say on our HEP, like go to sleep for a while, like don't be a threat. And I can understand his motive be like, I don't want to name names because you don't want to burn bridges, because you want to sit back and you want to have all of these options open to you. You want to have everyone like you, and you want to see where the, you know, where the tides are going to take you. I can understand that. I can understand the value of being a floater in the most traditional sense, which is just to sort of be cool with everybody, but to go where the power lies. But here's the thing, Maren, you got like 8 hours left. You got like less than 8 hours left. It's at this point where it's like, this is the hand you've been dealt. You are either go home right now or you aren't. And the only way that you could even begin to possibly start to save yourself, if it's not entirely too late, is to change your strategy. Like, he's trying to play a certain hand of poker, to use that metaphor again, but he has a completely different set of cards. And you just got to play with what you're dealt. Like, right now is not the time to be the diplomatic sort of non-entity.
Yes, yes. So, poor Maren.
I'm so sorry, Maren. I'm going to send you a card.
I'll probably say this on the
please
recap.
Send flowers to Taryn, please. Everyone listening, send flowers to Taryn.
I'll probably say this on the recap tonight, but I feel like Maren came into this house acting, because he came in late and he acted like he was a guest in this house, right? Like, he is the guest and he is trying to tiptoe and not offend people and be courteous and kind, and that's ultimately why he's being sent home. Whereas Veronica came into this house with the complete opposite mindset. She came in thinking she owned the place, and that's why she got sent home. Like, they had two completely separate and opposite reactions and strategies heading into the house in terms of like just how they operated socially, and they both don't work.
And they're both bad. Yeah, I don't want to say that this whole Gatecrashers twist was a waste. I don't want to say that it was a total flop necessarily. I mean, obviously, I have my opinions about who went into the house and who didn't, but like, generally speaking, it has been a fun sort of example of how not to enter the house late. Like, these are two really good textbook examples. Assuming Big Brother Canada continues, assuming that they ever do a twist like this in Big Brother US, I think there are a lot of good lessons here. If you ever find yourself on one of these shows and you enter the game late, don't do what Maren did and don't do what Veronica did.
Yeah,
there you go.
All right. So Kayla, Derek, and Paris have a conversation. At this point, Kayla and Derek, they've talked to Allie. They feel very frustrated that Ryan is going to be staying in the house. And they feel like the reason people are keeping him is so that he can go after them. And they're starting to get aggressive here. They're talking to Paris, and they're basically like, Paris is telling them, I'm voting to keep Ryan. I want to keep my word to Erica. And they're like, whoa, keep your word to Eric. You promised us that you would vote with us. And she's like, what? No, I said I was going to like vote what was for best, like my best for my game. And they're like, no. You said you were going to vote with us. You promised. Now you're saying that you promised Erica before you promised us, and like all these promises, like what's going on, Paris? And Paris, oh my God. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't realize I said that. Like, Paris just like really caught up here. And they're really pressing the advantage. It's not going to work, and I don't think this is very smart of them, because it's really just like pumping Paris up to, I think, eventually target them. They hug it out at the end of the conversation, but like this is not exactly subtle gameplay.
I think conversely, you could also look at the same conversation and criticize sort of Paris's gameplay here.
Oh, for sure.
She's sort of worked herself into this situation now where she's trying to sort of please everybody. I mean, she's kind of doing a little bit like what Marin's doing, except maybe with a little bit more finesse. But she's gotten to a point now where it's like, she can't really been any age. You're going to have to play her hand. And it's, you know, she's made promises to sort of everybody in the house. And like, depending on how the cards fall, depending on how this HOH falls, I could see a week or two from now, you know, Paris's game really getting blown up and having, you know, someone like Erica being like, well, Paris promised me A, B, and C. And then having, you know, someone like Johnny being like, well, Paris promised me A, B, and C. And then suddenly Paris is a juicy target that everyone can agree on.
Yeah, the thing that Paris continues to, I don't know if I would say do well, but the reason that she continues to be alive in this game is because she's bad at this, because she handles this conversation so poorly. She still is not somebody that Derek or Kayla plan on targeting anytime soon. They just don't see her as a threat.
Right, and they're underestimating her, which yes, is sort of paradoxically helping her.
Exactly. And again, we've talked before, like, will she have trouble if she makes it to the finals, winning a jury vote? Probably. But getting there is harder than winning a jury vote. So I like this strategy more than I don't like it, to be honest.
I'm of the belief, and we've seen it in recent Big Brother seasons, where it's like we've had people, especially if you include something like Big Brother Celebrity, where it's like the person who wins is the person that we kind of thought had no chance in winning. It's so much more important to get to the end. Who cares if you're playing the greatest game of all time if you don't get to the end? You can play a really, 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 really crappy, and as long as cards fall in your favor and you're sitting next to a person that they don't want to win, you can win. Yeah. I'm firmly of that belief that, like, who cares how you get to the end? Just get there and then figure it out from there.
And I mean, obviously do as much as you can on the way there. Try not to piss people off. Don't be a Paul, don't be a Ross, but getting there is definitely a lot more important than anything else, really. So Allie and Will have a conversation. Again, Allie is now pressing as well. Allie is basically threatening Will to his face. If you don't vote Ryan out, then I'm gonna have to use somebody as a pawn next week, and that person's gonna be you. I'm gonna put you up on the block if you don't vote Ryan out, is essentially what she's saying to him. And Will is not happy about this. Will is pissed off by the end of the night, because he's also gonna have a conversation with Kayla and Derek, that we'll talk about in a second. But man, Allie is just really, really going for it. So are Kayla and Derek. This is just, it's very aggressive gameplay.
And a lot of these arguments don't really have any teeth. The idea that's like, oh, Allie is going to win HOH and then put up Will as a pawn or something. I mean, first of all, we've only had 3 people or 4 people win competitions this entire season. You know what I mean? So, like, looking at this spread, I think threatening to win something and then do something is sort of like silly at this point. But then the other thing, I don't know, I feel like it's sort of a half measure to be like, if you don't do what I say, I'm going to put you up as a pawn and not vote you out. That'll really make you cross with me. Like, I mean, if you're going to threaten someone, especially someone like Will, who doesn't take keenly to threats, like, you should go the whole way and be like, I'm going to put you up and I'm going to send you home. You know what I mean? Because it's like, that's kind of what your intent is anyway, but you're taking out all of the teeth of your argument by being like, I'm gonna put you out, but I'm gonna keep you in the house, so don't worry about it, you know.
Yes. So Kayla and Derek are saying to themselves, if they win, they want to put up Johnny and Will, with the intention of taking Will out of the house. They think that Will would go in that situation. They wouldn't use the veto. There's been some discussion in the chat about whether or not they think Will or Johnny would go. I do think that Will would go here. I think that there's been so much dysfunction in the Will, Maddie, Paris trio that I don't think that they would want to stick together. I think that they would probably want to support Johnny, I think. And then not only that, but Will has the association with Paris and Maddie that, like, even if they do stick with him, that just makes him more dangerous because he's part of a trio, whereas Johnny is not part of that trio. So yeah, I do think that Will would go in that situation.
I also think Will would completely self-destruct. Yeah. I like Will, but he doesn't seem to keep a cool head under pressure. Whereas Johnny, I think, is very good at navigating those politics. Like, Johnny's going to be, if Johnny's on the block next to Will, he's going to be much better at making arguments and making deals and sort of navigating that stress and that pressure, you know. And then also, again, you know, think about the veto. Like, Johnny's much more likely to win any veto just by, you know, looking at previous behavior. So, like, yeah. But even if for some reason they both end up on the block at the end of the week and it's a Thursday, I think that Will, you know, shoots himself in the foot 10 times before Johnny even draws his gun.
Yeah, and it's also the kind of thing where, like, if Erica backs Johnny up, which I think she would in that situation, I think she trusts Johnny a lot more than she does Will, then it's kind of like, are you really going to take a shot at Johnny leaving Erica, the biggest competition threat in the game, pissed off at you because you took a shot at Johnny? You might as well just take a shot at Erica.
About this on Sunday. Right. We talked about this on Sunday, where it's like those two have won almost everything all season now. And so it's like they kind of are getting to a point where they need each other. Like, I could definitely see, I mean, forget the fact that they already have a pretty good relationship, but in addition to that, I think it helps Erica to keep Johnny around. Like you said, like, taking a shot at Johnny is sort of coming around the block to take a shot at Erica anyway.
Yes, exactly. So that is their plan. They don't even want to bother with Ryan. And basically, it like, I see exactly where Kayla is coming from here, where it's just like she sees why people are keeping Ryan, because they know that Ryan is coming after them and that Kayla and Derek sort of have to go after Ryan because Ryan is clearly coming after them. So she's trying to change the narrative and say, well, no, I'm not coming after Ryan. If Ryan stays in the house, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go after Johnny. I'm going to go after Will. I'm going to go after the people that are voting to keep Ryan. And that, like, it makes sense in a weird way where it's like, oh, well, if that's the new standard for what the house is going to do, then maybe that changes how people might want to vote. But unfortunately, it doesn't. Like, it just makes people more amped to go after you, because if you're saying to, because Will ends up joining them and they tell Will straight to his face, we're not going to go after Ryan next week. We're going to go after somebody else. And they're like laughing in his face as they do so. They're basically saying, like, you think you have this all figured out. You think you're going to pin Will or Ryan against us, but that's not going to happen. We're going to go after other people, Will. And it's like I see where that they're coming from there. But the problem is, when you're telling Will to his face that that's what you're going to do, the decision is already made. Will can't now go, oh, you're right. Now it's a bad move for me. Now that you're not going to go after Ryan and you're coming after me, you've already drawn the line the second you tell him that. And so he has to follow through and hope that he wins HOH at this point. And now he is extra, extra, extra motivated to go after you if he wins or if somebody else wins. So it's like there really wasn't much benefit to doing this. And I feel like Allie and Kayla and Derek, they got themselves riled up and like they wanted to lash out a little bit. And I feel like it's hurting them here. There were people like Will were kind of thinking, maybe I don't want to win this HOH, but I guarantee you, and that's what Arissa was saying, like everybody is gung-ho after this HOH now, and the line is pretty clearly drawn between a lot of these people. So this is kind of a must-win for the showmans, I think.
Yeah, they kind of, I think, spoke out of turn. I think that a better way to handle it would have been to... So, like, keep those thoughts inside their head, or to maybe pull Ryan aside and be like, hey, I know that we're publicly targeting you and you're publicly targeting us, but how about we change that narrative? But, like, you know, or save this, because right now it's, you know, it's either Marin or Ryan that's going home or whatever until Thursday night. And then there's this HOH. And like you said, like less than 24 hours ago, there was a good contingent of the house that was going to not bother trying to win this HOH. So like Derek and Kayla could have started to push this new strategy or new narrative after tonight, like after the HOH competition. And that could have worked out for them. Like once you see who wins HOH, is it Derek and Kayla? Is it somebody on their side? Then you start to push this new narrative. But now, because they pushed it too early, because the fact that Marin going home is sort of already set in stone, now everyone's got their sort of hackles up. And so, now we have everyone's going to try to win the HOH. You know, it's like I think I said this to you on Sunday, but it's like when people get bored, they get sloppy. Like it was so back and forth, like Marin, Ryan. And finally, in the last sort of 24 hours, 72 hours, it's been like, OK, it's definitely Marin. And so now that that's settled, everyone's bored. And so they're moving on to the strategy for next week. But you can't jump ahead too far, or at least not publicly, like in your head. Do that, but wait until the HOH happens, because now everyone's going to try to win it, and that could spell doom for Derek and or Kayla.
Yes, and it's the sort of thing where it's true of like relationships. It's often true of things in the house. Like the more you try to push something and push and try to force it, the more it backfires on you. You know, like they feel like if they force this situation, then maybe they can get Ryan to leave, but it doesn't work that way. Instead, you should be going in the opposite direction. If they started hanging out with Ryan, publicly, and they, as you mentioned, like went to Ryan and said, look, people want you in this house so that you'll go after us and we'll go after you. Let's not fall into that trap. Let's not be the guinea pigs in everyone else's experiment. Let's surprise them all and secretly work together. Ryan is absolutely the kind of guy that would fall for that, that would be all over that.
He would also think of three previous examples in Big Brother where something like that's happened before.
And here's the thing. Either he's into it and you now have somebody who's not after you, or he's not really into it, but then like blows it up because he's Ryan and yeah. he messes up. He lets people know, people catch you hanging out with him. And now they're worried that Ryan, as Ryan does, is being sketchy and making deals and now not their loyal pawn that they want him to be. And maybe then they change their mind because Marin in the meantime is not hanging out with you and is hanging out with Erica, saying that he's willing to go after Derek and Kayla. And maybe like that could actually affect change and make it so that Ryan leaves, or like worst case scenario, you get Ryan not coming after you anymore. It's kind of a win-win there. But instead, when you try to force the agenda, it backfires on you. It's not the plan you should be doing.
I think two sort of universal principles, both in real life and in the Big Brother house, are that people don't like to feel like they're being manipulated or used, and people don't like to feel like they're being pressured into something. You know, even if it's the best thing for you, even if it actually literally is in your favor or in your best interest, nobody anywhere likes to feel like they're being pushed into a thing. And so it's just not the right way to go about doing it. Even if the nugget of strategy in theory is good, trying to pressure people, that's like antagonistic. It's just not good. You can't convince somebody to do something if you are pushing too hard. People just don't like that feeling. And so, yeah, I mean, I think this is absolutely the wrong way to go about it and the wrong time to go about it. And I think that we could see it bite them in the butt as soon as tomorrow.
Yes. So we have this eviction coming up. We will see Marin go home much more likely than not. And then we will have an HOH competition. It could be endurance. If it's endurance, I think it will be very interesting because I think the two people who are most likely to win an endurance competition right now are Kayla and Johnny, which are the two people who are really, gunning for each other a little bit. Johnny's obviously gunning for Kayla, and Kayla's gunning to put Johnny on the block at the very least, which is more than anyone else in the house. So, yeah. His arch enemy. I think Paris might have an outside shot as well.
My money in that situation, depending on what it is, would be Johnny, just because, you know, the best predictor of future events is like prior evidence. And Johnny has already won a endurance comp in the house already. So he's, you know, not that it takes a ton of skill to just sit somewhere or stand somewhere or hang somewhere, but I don't know, like it's easier mentally when you're sort of like psyching yourself up for something if you've already done it before. And so since Johnny won that first HOH, I would, if you were putting money on a person, I would put money on Johnny.
Yes. Johnny has like, it's, well, really both Johnny and Kayla, like Johnny has like the perfect body type for an endurance competition. He has the Matt Hoffman. He's just like a smaller, like thin guy, but also strong enough that he's going to do well, like very good, weight to strength ratio. And Kayla is similar, where like, she is also like a smaller, woman, but like very, very strong, very muscular. This is almost like Rachel was great at HOH competitions or the endurance competitions because she was so strong, especially with like the lower body. But Matt Hoffman is also very good at them, and they fought each other in them before. Matt Hoffman tended to win those endurances, but it'll be interesting to see. And like I said, I think Paris has a shot as well, except for her sweaty palms. I forgot about that.
I'm sorry, I zoned out after you said Johnny has the perfect body. That's all I heard you say. So if anyone wants to take a screenshot and tweet that out,
take a screenshot. Yeah, take a screenshot of this, and it'll definitely let you know what I was saying during this. Well,
and then, you know, put the subtitle underneath it. Karen Armstrong, Johnny.
Well, actually, you just said it as well.
Oh, so
they could do the same thing to you.
Oh my God, blackmail. It's like spy versus spy over here.
All right. Well, we are looking forward to a very exciting HOH competition that we will probably not see on feeds or on the episode tonight, but we will eventually see it on Monday and we'll see the results tonight.
Yeah. At some point we're going to learn something. It's a fun labor of love to be like, I'm excited for this thing that I won't get to experience, but we'll talk about it, even though we only saw a part of it after the fact. Yes. We're the Canada Six.
And I will say tonight on the recap, we have been in talks with Jesse about joining us tonight. But a lot of people think that that he's maybe part of a twist. He's been tweeting some stuff out. So who knows? Maybe maybe he bails on us because he's you know, doing something else. But we have asked him. He's we think he's on board. So we probably have Jesse tonight. We might not, though. Who knows?
You know what? I'm not even going to speculate because I kind of don't care, but good luck.
Yes. All right. Well, make sure you tune in tonight after the episode and we will be recapping everything going on there. And tomorrow I will be live again, updating you on the live feeds for Big Brother Canada 6 and all of that great, lovely stuff. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. I am at Armstrong Taren. John is at John Krause. Subscribe. Go to robiswebsite.com. Do all the things, you know.
Hashtag Johnny has the perfect body.
Yeah. I mean, John thinks so. So
I think he's got a lovely body. I don't know why you're trying to pin this on me.
Look, I'm sure he's got a lovely body. It's just, is it the perfect body? Who knows?
I just think that in 12 hours when Maren's outside of the house, he's going to see you talking about Johnny's perfect body all the time and be really sad.
Yeah. And then when he goes back in the house, he's going to target Johnny because he's jealous of his perfect body.
Maybe, okay, never mind. This can only go so far. I was going to be like, well, they're going to have to throw down on the big grave in the coffin thing.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for you today. Make sure you tune in tonight and tomorrow and all of the other times. We will see you in those times, which are next.